Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would speak your word to us, that we would truly hear your word and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. So we pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Would you please be seated? So in our house recently, we rearranged two bedrooms. And in that process, we actually moved two beds into different parts of the room. And of course, that means that you find what is behind the beds that a vacuum has never reached. And some of that is just gross. But there are also moments of, wow, that's where that thing is. Or how long has it been back there? Or I've been wondering where that was. You know this experience too. I'm not asking you to raise your hand, but you know this experience. Well, don't let this experience happen like it did in 2 Kings 22. Don't let this happen. So if you would, turn in your Bibles or in your bulletin to 2 Kings 22. If you'd like to follow along in the Bible under the seat in front of you, it's page 329, but it is also in your bulletin. 2 Kings 22, and I'm going to pick up at verse 8. 2 Kings 22, 8. And Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the secretary, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan, the secretary, came to the king and reported to the king, your servants have emptied out the money. That's what they had been assigned to do. They're renovating the temple. They'd been assigned to do that. And then verse 10, then Shaphan, the secretary, told the king, Hilkiah, the priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. So they're renovating the temple, and the high priest finds the book of the law, it says, lost somewhere among the stuff in the temple. It had been put away somewhere. It was in storage. Think about what's in storage at your house. Sometimes, yes, of course, it's in storage because it's important and you want to use it and you'll keep it safe, of course. But most of what ends up in storage is stuff you don't need, you don't want, but you just don't want to throw away. So one of those life lessons that I have learned is that we tend to be more ready to store things than throw it away. We have that problem here at church too. I don't know what to do with that. I'm not the one that got it. Somebody spent good money on it. I don't want to throw it away. Let's put it in the attic. You do that at home as well. I mean, think about your closets and your garage and your attic and your basement. Some things in storage are special, but sometimes they're not. And so, of course, we discover that all the things we don't want have been put in storage, so all the things that we actually do want don't have anywhere to go. We have this problem here at church. You have it in your house. Am I the only person? Don't raise your hand. Am I the only person here who has been given things by family members that you don't want and don't need but can't get rid of? Well, someone had taken the Bible and put it in storage. And the church leadership and the king were fine that it was missing. And it had been missing long enough that people didn't even seem to notice anymore. So verse 8 says that they found the book of the law. Now, the book of the law could mean the first five books of the Bible. But actually, that specific term is used a few times in the Bible, specifically to mean the book of Deuteronomy. That's the fifth book of the Old Testament. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. No, I will not sing the song that I learned as a child to memorize those. But it sounds like they had part of the Bible, but they put away a part that they didn't really like. Deuteronomy has some pretty strong words to say about faithfulness to God and what will happen to the people of God if they're not faithful to him. So hearing about the patriarchs, that's fine. That's Genesis. We can keep that part. Hearing about God choosing and saving the Israelites from slavery, we like that part. We can keep that part. That's fine. Ritual worship instructions, that's fine too. God acting on behalf of his people, we like that. That's fine. God commanding obedience and faithfulness and telling you of punishment for disobedience. Let's put that part in storage. Maybe don't throw it away. We can still pull it out when the mother-in-law comes to visit, but let's put that away and forget about it. Priests did that with the Bible. Let that sink in. So they find this book of the law that has been forgotten, or at least a couple generations. It has been forgotten. Deuteronomy 17 says that the king shall write for himself, and that might actually mean like write himself, but will write for himself the law of God and carry it with him wherever he goes. There is a specific command that the king carry this with him so that it is never forgotten. And here it is being found after being forgotten. The word of God has been forgotten. And the high priest, like the archbishop, reads it and says, uh-oh. And so he assigns someone else to take it to the king, which I just have to say, I would love to be able to assign the secretary of our vestry, our chapter, to take bad news to people all the time. That would be wonderful if I could do that. But he sends the secretary to the king, and the secretary reads it to the king. Now be honest. You're in charge, and someone comes to you and reads this to you, reads the word of God to you, which specifically, among other things, lays out the curses of God on you and your people for not being faithful to God. This book says you're in trouble. How do you respond? Let's put that back in the box where you found it. Which one was it? Let's just keep this experience between the two of us. But the righteous King Josiah, one of the best kings Israel, the people of God, ever had, a very young king, senses the pull of God in his spirit and is moved in his heart and tears his robes as a symbol of repentance and sorrow for his and his nation's deeds. And so he says to these people, go ask God. Go ask God what we need to do because we have sinned and we've neglected what our good God gave us to do. We know we have sinned. We have abandoned God. I know it. I acknowledge it. I admit it. Go and pray and ask God what we need to do. And here's God's answer. Turn with me to verse 16. The Lord says, behold, I will bring disaster upon this place and upon its inhabitants, all the words of the book that the king of Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and made offerings to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the work of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be kindled against this place, and it will not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, who sent me to inquire of the Lord, sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus you shall say to him, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, regarding the words that you've heard, because your heart was penitent and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard how I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they should become a desolation and a curse, you have torn your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, behold, I will gather you to your fathers, and you will be gathered to your grave in peace. And your eyes shall not see the disaster that I will bring upon this place. Judgment is coming, God says. I really meant what I said. I will not ignore the wickedness of my people. But because you have repented and humbled yourself before me, I will hold back my hand for a while. I will let you, Josiah, live and die in peace. But punishment is still going to come. When God's people turn away from him, judgment does come. When God's people turn away from him, judgment does come. Now, I want to be really clear on how to apply this to our world today. The United States is not ancient Israel. This is not about our nation turning from God. Certainly, there's plenty of that in our nation, but that is emphatically not what the application here is. This is not about our political leaders doing things contrary to God's plan, which is bad, but that's not what's going on here. Ancient Israel was a nation, yes, but ancient Israel was the people of God. The U.S. was not and never was the people of God. The people of God is not a nation, it's the church. The judgment for disobedience and forgetting and rejecting God and his ways is on us as the church. There's no place for pointing fingers at others or at political leaders that we don't agree with. This is about us forgetting the word of God. The people of God had forgotten and ignored the word of God. And there is forgiveness in Jesus. And if we don't repent and return to him and his ways, God's judgment comes upon us. Churches close. Clergy fall. Gossip and strife takes over. Even nations fall because of God's people. When God's people, the church, not the nation, the church, ignore and forget God's word, the scripture, the Bibles, things begin to fall apart. And we lose God's blessings in this life when the church does that. So what do we, as the church, as those committed to following Jesus Christ, what do we do when we discover that God expects something of us? Like Josiah did. Josiah found out that God expected something of him. Now, the fact is, we might honestly not know what God expects of us. Our churches and individually, we should be faithfully reading and studying and teaching the Bible. But that doesn't always happen. Many people come to faith in Jesus as adults. They don't have a history in this. They don't know what God expects of them, and that's fine. But once we do discover the truth of what God says, what should we do? What should we do when we find out that the Bible, God through his word, has told us something in the scriptures that we should or shouldn't be doing? The Bible is not just some list of do's and don'ts. Oh my goodness, that is not it. But clearly there are times when we are told to do something or not to do something. It's more than that, but that is included. And that's what this passage is focusing on. And so to read scripture faithfully, we do need to focus on that sometimes. But how do we respond when we discover that God tells us to do something or not to do something? Follow Josiah's example. Follow his example. Repent, admit our fault right away, and change. The next chapter in 2 Kings, chapter 23, is all about national reforms that Josiah made and implemented. Repent, admit your fault, and change. I'm not suggesting for a moment that change is easy, but that's what we need to do. Josiah did not say, well, it's not that big of a deal. Or, I can't change now. People will think I'm a religious nut. Or, I can't. Do you have any idea how much that will cost me? Or simply and honestly, I don't want to. He didn't say any of those things. He immediately realized that he needed to change, and he did. Now, we heard a bit last week, and again this week, from the beginnings of Jesus' long sermon called the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. And he tells us, in that sermon, things that as his followers, things that we should and should not do as a part of his kingdom, establishing his kingdom, there are things that we should and shouldn't do as his followers in his new kingdom. And he means it. So, for example, he tells us that we must not harbor anger in our hearts. As his beloved people, he really expects us to do the incredibly hard work of forgiveness. That doesn't mean forgetting, nor does it mean remaining in a place where someone continues to hurt us, but we do need to do the hard spiritual work of forgiveness, just as Jesus forgave us. That can take years to accomplish. But we really are called to enact forgiveness. I mentioned this last summer because it happened right when I mentioned it. But last summer, calling someone who had caused me such serious pain about 10 years prior. And I knew that God expected me to call and seek reconciliation and forgiveness with that person. That's not always possible to call someone who's hurt us, and that's not always safe. But in this case, I absolutely knew that I had to. And I did. And I don't know how else to describe it, but something broke loose in me. This is not optional. What do you do when you hear the word of God telling you to address anger in your heart? Jesus tells us in that sermon that we must control our physical lust. There is absolutely no place for Christians to dwell on or permit lust or to look at pornography or to watch raunchy and graphic movies or to simply say, well, that's just who I am and it's not hurting anybody. The Word of God tells us that we must bring that under control through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not optional. What do you do when you hear the Word of God telling you to address lust in your heart? Jesus tells us not to divorce and not to remarry. He tells us who can properly get married, and that's not the same as what our nation says. And then marriage, according to his word, should not be ended. Now, tragically, there are times when divorce is needed. And there are some, limited, but some instances where remarriage following divorce is absolutely permitted. But not always. And we need to hear that. But most divorce and most instances of remarriage is not something for Christians. This is not optional. What do you do when you hear the Word of God telling us about divorce and remarriage? Jesus tells us about not exacting revenge, even when we want to so badly and even when they were wrong. Thank you very much. He tells us about showing genuine love for enemies, not just our friends, but for enemies. He tells us about giving of our finances. He tells us about prayer. He tells us about fasting. He tells us about not using our money just for ourselves, but actually investing it in the church and the kingdom of God. And when I honestly look in my own heart, and when I look at the wider church, God's people, I see far too much of this stuff. I also see amazing depth in so many saints who are faithfully seeking the Lord even when it's hard and seeing the fruit of faithfulness for God. But if I'm honest, I also see a world in which so many self-professed Christians are not doing what God tells us to do. Now, let me just tell you in this moment what's hard for me as a preacher and as a pastor. I want so badly to just immediately jump in and say, but don't worry, we're all sinners, and I want to tell you about true forgiveness that we have in Jesus and tell you that your sin is no match for the love and grace of Jesus. And it's all okay because he has conquered. And that is true and right and absolutely essential. And that's why I want to say it directly into your heart. But to just jump there without repentance and change is to miss the message of this part of God's word to his people. God is telling his people that there actually is punishment if we ignore the word of God, the Bible. If we hear it but don't listen to it. If we put it in storage and forget about it. If we decide that we just know better. How do you respond when you hear God's word telling you to do or not do something. And yes, we need to hear all of this in the context of the fact that Jesus has destroyed sin and death through his death and resurrection for you. Because of him, you do not need to fear the grave or ultimate judgment of God. Your sin truly is no match for his grace. It is absolutely no match for him. And so, empowered by the Holy Spirit, filled with the Spirit of God, saved through the grace of Jesus, hear the word of God. Respond to the word of God. Repent for ignoring the word of God. Turn back to God and following his way, revealed in his word, the scriptures, and in the life of Jesus. Make changes, even incredibly hard ones. He really means it. We've got to change and obey the word of God. Because our Lord truly loves us and calls us and saves us and cherishes us as his beloved children, leave everything else behind. Obey his word. Obey his word. Obey his word. Amen.